Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, listen, don't forget, right now, go to kcm.org/notes and get the outline of this broadcast. All the scriptures and the topics are outlined, so you can take those later and study them. And you, hey, teach your family, teach the Sunday school, preach a message on it. It's free, no expense, no excuse. Amen. And you can get it right now. And follow us along in the broadcast. Father, we thank you for this today, and we give you praise and honor, sir. We choose to believe God. We choose to trust you today. And we thank you that you are healing our land. We know it because you said you would. We believe it. We take it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Join me again today in welcoming Brother David Barton to this studio.
Hey, brother.
Praise God. David, I really am excited about what's happening in our country, but it isn't just here. It's all over the world.
Yeah.
The Lord said to me years ago, in 1983, January of 83, I'd gotten aside to fast and pray for most of that month. And the Lord said, there's coming a Holy Ghost glory storm. And when he said storm, it really got my attention, but I thought, well, now, what? He said, my glory has been manifest as cloud. It's been manifest as rain. It's been manifest as fire and lightning. It's been manifest as wind, but not all together at once. He said, but it's coming. Mm-hmm. And you put all that together, you got a storm, brother. and it's here. Mm-hmm. The beginnings of it, it's already started. Praise God.
Yeah.
I mean, the great anointings of the tent preacher's days, it's back, and it's back big time. Well, The exciting part of this is, like, I remember the first time I ever heard Creflo say, y'all stay with me, I'm working on something here. Well, God's working on something here. Let's look in the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, what were they doing there? Jesus had instructed them to go there and wait. And we have the descriptions of things that they were doing there. They had things that he had said they discussed. They prayed together. They were all in one accord. There a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. Now, we know that they left that upper room then, that prayer room, that word room. God prepared them. Then they went into the street. Mighty move of God, power of glory being expressed in healing. They filled the streets with people and God healed. Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing to me that is on the day of Pentecost. That's the model. You pray, you obey, and here comes the glory. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just in Peter and John and James. I mean, over 120 of them, then the first few things you know, there's thousands of them.
That's right.
But all of them are engaged in this outpouring. Now, look over here at the fourth chapter. We get out of mouth of two witnesses. They came to their own company. They came back to the church. They had been threatened and so forth because they were preaching in the name of Jesus. Now, they in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, they came back to their own company, And when they did, the 23rd verse down, they began to pray in one accord again. But notice here, they prayed Scripture. They started out in the book of Genesis, God created. Then they went to the book of Psalms and they prayed what David said. And then they prayed what the prophets said. And then they prayed, "For of a truth against your holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed." And then they came down and said, for 29th verse, "Behold their threatenings, grant unto thy servants with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." When they'd prayed, the place was shaken. Well, now you come to the 5th chapter and the 12th verse. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought." That didn't start out in the street by the hands of the apostles. It started in prayer, where the prayer workers and the same principle, they were in the upper room, the power of God fell, then they went into action. They were in prayer in the church. They prayed the Scripture. They chose to believe it. And the power of God fell and shook the place where they were. But then the apostles went out. Well, David, they didn't go out by themselves. Yeah. They were just leading the thing.
Yeah, they were. And we were talking yesterday how that God has really spoken to Reinhard Bonnke that he needs to come to America, this time for America. And we've been praying for America for a long time, and God's answering prayers. And it may not be exactly what nobody expected the place to be shaken, because that hadn't happened before. So the way it happened was new to them, but they were still part of it. They had to see what God was doing, get on board with what God's doing, be part of that. But there's some principles that go with that. And by the way, one of the things that we were talking about before even yesterday is it's amazing what God is doing in the world to bring nations together, but also to bring nations together right now for the focus of helping America, because America needs a lot of help. So we had Australia, who led this movement, who got 100 nations together to pray and fast for America. Why would anybody in Australia care about America? And why would they get 100? But they did. These Australians got 100 nations together to pray and fast for America. We talked about how South Korea is now sending missionaries to Africa. Cheryl and I, when we go to Washington, D.C., we're up in D.C. very often dealing with congressmen, senators, and whatnot. And the cab driver's there. We saw one at one point in time, and he had a cross hanging from his little mirror. And we said, "Hey, are you a believer?" "Yeah, I believe." "Where are you from?" "Nigeria." And he got all excited, and he told us, he said, "In Nigeria, we have this commission that we feel that we need to go out into America and other places in the world, and it's time to take revival elsewhere." He said, "So what we have back in Nigeria," he said, "I call in every night," he said, "but we have an open line, a phone line where we call in. It's kind of like a conference call." And he said, "It has been going 24 hours a day for years. And so wherever we are, whatever country, when we get done with work, we go and we get on the line, we all pray together. And there's always, because of all the time zones across the world, people are always calling in. They're off work and they're praying and getting prayed up and getting ready to go back out the next day and take the world on again." And so you got all these Nigerians in America that are cab drivers, that are restaurant guys, that are whatever. And they're just bringing the gospel and really focusing on it. And then they get prayed up at night, called back to this huge prayer meeting in Nigeria that hadn't stopped for years. And this is going elsewhere. And by the way, one of the congressmen we were talking to was saying it's really interesting in China, because China now has nearly 200 million people in the underground church in China. And China, the underground church, God has told them, "You're going to be the ones that bring the Muslims to Christ." And so now the Chinese are going out of China to start restaurants everywhere, to start service things, and they're doing it in Muslim nations. They're going to Muslim nations and just sharing the gospel as they share food, as they share their services. So all over the world this is happening, but it's interesting that America has been a focus for a lot of the nations. They recognize that this is God's time. God's got something going in America. And so when that happens, when you see a manifestation of what we're about to see in America, whether it be with people like Reinhard Bonnke or Nigerians or Australians or anybody else coming in, the question then becomes, okay, what's my role in this thing?
Always.
I can't be an observer to this. I can't sit back and say, finally, God showed up. I've been praying for it. It's about time again. No, at that point, when he shows up, there's stuff that's got to be done.
That wasn't just Peter that went down in the street.
No.
That whole 120 went down there.
That's right. And we get the names of the big boys up top, but David long ago set forth a principle. He said, you know, I led the troops out to get all the stuff back, Ziklag, what they did, and here's the deal. You saw all the warriors. We came back with all the stuff, but here's the rule we've got. Those who go to battle and those who keep the stuff are going to share equally in the spoils. Nobody knows the name of anybody who keeps the stuff. They know the name of David who went to battle, but you know what? These guys back here got the same reward David got.
And some guys griped about it.
Yeah, they did.
They said, look, hey, come on now, man.
We're the names. We're...
Now... We went in harm's way.
Yeah.
David, we followed you across that river. We had to get ourselves across that river was bad enough, but then we faced the enemy, we fought, we won. And now you want to share equally with these guys that just stayed back here and guarded the
administrative folks, the guys they weren't out front.
First time I ever heard that message, I heard Oral Roberts preach it in the first partner meeting I had ever heard. This is what got me so excited. He said, those that stay behind, you maybe can't get loose and go to some other nation today, but I'm going.
Yeah.
And if I'm going, you're going.
Yeah.
And he shares equally reward.
That's right.
That's so
the other 120
powerful.
That we don't know their names for got equal reward with Peter
equal
and the apostles. And this is, but there's a preparation that goes with this. It's kind of interesting because as folks of faith, we know that God's going to take care of us. If he has to do the stuff with Elijah, if we're in a 3.5-year famine, he'll send a raven in with whatever we need. He's going to take care of us. That's the way it is. But there's a choice that I think we have to make as a nation right now and as a people. And it's in 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, Samaria is being besieged. They have been surrounded by the Syrians. God's people there, God's prophet, has made real clear to the king what's going to happen in this thing. And so they have been besieged in such a way that they are now resorting to cannibalism. They're saying, hey, let's eat my kid today, we'll eat your kid tomorrow, because they're starving to death. They are selling urine as if it is something to drink. It's hard to conceive how bad the besieging was from the Syrians that had them all locked in and they're all shut down. And there were five guys, there were four guys, we don't know the name of these four guys, don't have a clue anything about it. And what happened, with these four guys, they were, you know, they're part of all this going on. But God, in the middle of the night, went into the Syrians' camp and whacked them and turned the Syrians on each other. And so, as it turns out, here's Samaria being besieged, and there's no longer any enemy out there.
And they don't know.
They don't know it. But these four guys know it. And so these four guys, they go out there. And here's, let's see if I can get this verse real quick.
Verse 3,
four leprous men entered into the gate and they said, you know, we're going to die of famine. So they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, there was nobody there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said to one another, lo, the king of Israel's hired us against us, the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians come upon us. And so they arose and fled in the twilight and their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and they fled for the land. So there's not an enemy out there anymore. But these people back here are living like there is, except for four guys. And these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp. They went into one tent. And they ate and drank. Nobody in the city has had anything to eat and drink forever. These guys, they've got it all. They carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and they went and stockpiled it. And they came again to another tent, and they carried it all out, and they went and stockpiled it. And then they said, this is not a good thing we're doing. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. And if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come on us. Now let's therefore go and tell the king's household. So these guys have been enjoying all these blessings through all this tragedy. And they said, you know what? That's not really what we ought to be doing. We need to get everybody else in on these blessings. And that's the point where we're going to be with the revival. You know, we can enjoy the blessings and we've been enjoying God's protection, but there's a lot of people that have been living under the oppression of the Syrians, so to speak, that have been living in this time of famine, that haven't had all the provision that we've had for all this time. And it's time for us to go grab them and say, hey, time for you to get in on this stuff.
Yes, sir.
It's time for you to be part of this. Now, we've been stockpiling our stuff. We've been doing really good, and we've been eating, and we've been drinking, and we've been having all this stuff. We can't stop there. And so part of what happens is when you take what we talked about with Reinhardt yesterday, in one service, 1.6 million people came to Christ in one service, and he's done, you know, lots of these services. So let's say that God really starts turning this nation around, because right now the book that we did that we're offering, the U-Turn book, it talks about the spiritual condition in America. We're losing 1.5 million people a year out of the church in America. The fastest growing religious group in America are the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, those who want no religion at all. I want nothing to do with religion. That's what's dominating America right now. We're losing our kids at a huge, rapid rate. That's all right. God's taking care of us. You know, the city over there, it's dying of starvation. Mm-hmm. We can't stop at that point. So if Reinhardt comes in and these others come in, the Nigerians that are in, the Australians that are praying, the South Koreans sending their missionaries, we got to say, you know, what are we going to do to take this conversion that's coming, this blessing that's coming, what are we going to do to take and get that to every single person? Now, we got Peter and others that are preaching, but there's 120 that we don't know their names of, and we'll never know their names, but they were the ones who did the work across the city.
Yes,
you had 3,000 added one day, you had 5,000 added the next day. It wasn't Peter and the 12 who took care of those guys. It was all these others. It was those who kept the stuff. And so part of what we're going to have to do for what God says He's going to be doing in America is we're going to have to back up and say, okay, what's my role going to be? Because I can't be an observer on this. That's what these four guys were. They were the observers. They saw everything going on. They were having a great time. We're going to have to get off being the observer and get into being the participant. And saying, you know, I think my neighbor that I've been praying for a number of years is probably going to end up getting saved in one of these crusades that Bonnie's doing. And when that happens, what am I going to do for my neighbor? I've got to adopt my neighbor. You know, we can't have orphans here. We can't have all these people
That's
get
right.
saved and then become orphans. I've got to look for...
When he comes to your town, go to the meeting.
Go to the meeting.
Go get in
and
the meeting.
And take people with you to the
yes,
meeting.
Yes, amen.
And then you watch and see who goes forward up there and say, I work at that. That's my barber. I can do something with him. I've never thought about that. And so you start getting with Barbara and say, hey, I saw you at the meeting. Hey, here's a little Gospel of John you need to take and read. Now, let's do some questions again. Let me call you about twice a week, and I'm just going to ask some questions on what you read in the Gospel of John. And you start taking people and you start adopting them. You start bringing them in and saying, you know, I've got to nurture you. I've got to help raise you. And Reinhardt may get all the numbers. Oh, look, 400,000 saved in this crusade. Great. Who's going to take care of the 400,000 that came into the kingdom? It's not going to be Reinhardt. And this is where we're going to have to participate with God and what God wants to do in this country. And it's the same way across Africa. You know, as he goes those crusades, we mentioned those yesterday, those huge churches, up to 1 million people. How many church staff does it take to handle 1 million members in your church?
And it's staggering.
It's staggering. And all the work, and then it's not just the church members, it's not just the staff. Those church members are discipling each other. They're going back to their villages every
David,
week.
David, we've headed into a time right now. It's coming. It's already manifested at EMIC and our church here, mm-hmm. at my daughter and son-in-law pastor, George and Terry Pearson's. It broke out in there November of last year, and it's hit in every service since, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. I mean, just the power of God and the healing power of mm-hmm. God. And to where it's every service. It just, the building is full of excitement,
yeah.
and people have started seeing it online, and they're coming into yeah. it.
Yep.
Now, this same thing is happening in other churches
yep.
around the country. And the Lord has let us know, you better get prepared. You better be ready, because people are going to be going to church 7 days a week.
That's right.
It's already happened in times past.
And you can't just wait for it to happen.
No.
And say, what are we going to do? You got to get prepared.
No, you can't refurbish your church when it's full of people.
That's right.
7 days
That's
a week.
Right.
You better get it ready now.
You prepare your fields and then you get the harvest.
We're believing God to overhaul every road on this property because it's been prophesied. I saw it over 30 years ago and it's here.
Mm-hmm.
So my prayer is, sir, what's my part? Where do you want
that's
me
right.
in all this?
That's right.
Because wherever that is, that's where my healing is. That's where my prosperity is. That's where the deliverance of my children mm-hmm. is. That's where my part of this whole thing is your plan manifest.
That's right. That's right. And my part in it, not just the big names. And we get focused on the big names. That's our tendency. Quit focusing on the big names. God's already spoken to them. They're coming. Help's coming. What are we going to do right here? We're the ones that are going to have to take the harvest and put it in the sheaves and get it in the barns and take care of it and do all the work. I mean, the owner, great. He's got the land. We got to do some work. And that's what we have to get ready
that's
for.
Right.
That's what we have to prepare for.
And this goes further than that. The deliverance of this nation, or any nation for the Israel, any nation, has never been in its politics.
That's right.
Godly, righteous men and women in politics, of course, make a difference. I mean,
they
that's vitally
difference.
Important.
They make a huge
but
difference.
But the political end of it is not the answer. It's part of mm-hmm. the answer. The answer is what
and
we're talking about
And it's
about
always
now.
A reflection. If you'll change the way you believe, you'll change your policy.
That's right.
Because policies reflect what you
that's
believe.
Right.
When you have a revival, your policies change.
But now, in the midst of all of this, you may have a political role in it, and
that's
you say,
right.
I don't know anything about politics. That's more the reason why God might call on you, because you don't know anything about
that's
politics.
Right.
But you do know something about faith.
But you know what? You still got to get ready. Galatians 4 tells us even the master is under tutors until the time appointed.
That's right.
And so, you know nothing about politics? Great. Go learn.
Go find
because you
out.
May find yourself
go
in the middle of
find
it.
Go find out. Start out by saying, Lord, show me how to learn this.
That's right.
Show me what I got to know. Start out in the Word. Show me what you do, what you say.
1,500 Bible verses dealing with government
there
and the Word
are.
Of God. Let's
there
read the Bible and look for government verses.
And then God will start bringing people like David across your path and because he's already got a plan.
That's right.
And we're out of time. Brother David and I will be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.